We are in chapter 8, and we are at the trumpets. And as we have looked at this, it's been a little while since we've actually looked at it. I think we got through the second trumpet, if I'm not mistaken. Was that correct? Were y'all here? You were. We got through the second trumpet, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
But essentially what I want to... we're in chapter 8 of Revelation. As we go back into this and we got through to the second trumpet, what we see coming out of this, the trumpets here, as we talked about before... The blowing of the first four trumpets essentially devastates nature as a warning for people to repent of their sins. And that's something that we've seen. This is where we start getting into all the discussions of what could this be, what could that be. Dickie gave us some good statements the last time when we were talking about this as well. We know what that could be. And we had a lot of discussion about, could it be nuclear fallout? Could it be some different things? I think I've done a little more research on it as we talked about that the last time. Listened to a few other things, and the reality is, yes, it could be a nuclear fallout. I mean, if we really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of what it's saying and everything there, it could easily be nuclear fallout. I mean, you're talking about a large explosion that explodes a large mass of earth, fire from heaven, but the nuclear fallout portion of that would cause such a cover on the earth that the snow and the ice and the different things that are being declared here could also take place. The downside to calling it nuclear fallout is that there's no life lost in the first trumpet. And it says, the first angel sounded and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, a couple of things about this, as we didn't get all the way through it, a third of the earth was destroyed, and all of the green grass was destroyed when this took place. If it is nuclear fallout, then the only way I can describe that situation with the statements that are being made here is that the first trumpet blows, the second trumpet blows, the third trumpet blows, and the fourth trumpet blows. And it's boom, 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 boom. Because that is the only way, I think, that this could happen. And so it could be that one scholar that I came across, and I'm hesitant, like I said, to this. God created nature. I believe God can take out nature. It's the whole aspect of what a parent tells a child. Yeah, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. And nowadays, you've got parents that are telling their children, I may not have brought you into this world, but I'll still take you out. You know, but God created all of this. So to be able to use nature in that regard, I think you're looking at hail and fire mingled with blood being thrown to the earth. The question is, whose blood? And, you know, I don't know the answer to that. As we looked at it and we sort of went through it, nuclear accidents such as Chernobyl or an asteroid colliding with Earth could do the damage. You know, we did talk about that a little bit. John doesn't seem too concerned to provide information about the mechanism, but he just mentions that it's the hand of God at work, pretty much. That could be a twofold reason. One, the mechanism's not important. It's the fact that it's happening. Or two, John's also trying to describe something he's never seen before. And that's one of the things I came across, was that it's possible that John doesn't know what to say about this. So all he can say is, this has got to be an act of God. This is something the world's never conceived. If that's the case, then, you know, could it be a nuclear situation? It's possible. But what we see is that there's no fatalities in this. So how is there no fatalities? I mean, we know what happens when a nuclear bomb's dropped. Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Both of those had many fatalities. Anybody within a certain radius of where the bomb dropped was killed. I mean, you can't escape the nuclear fallout from that. So, you know, and the question is then, you know, with the fact that any of human life on Earth, if there's any change in the climate, and we talked about this a little bit, but any change in the climate, you're not going to be able to find yourself in a circumstance where life can sustain. If we were just a few miles closer to the sun or a few miles farther away, life as we know it on Earth would completely change, if not be done. I mean, that's one of the beauties of the creation that we know as Earth, is that we are set just exactly the right amount of distance from the sun. You know, and they talk about all this global warming and different things that are taking place. I mean, we see the climate change that's going on around us. Imagine that the world becomes dark because of this happening. Well, if the world becomes dark because of this happening, it's going to change the climate. But yet it's not mentioning any fatality here other than vegetation. And so then we get into verses 8 and 9 with the second angel. And so this first thing of nature is a warning to the people. We see similar things within the warnings that took place with Pharaoh in Egypt. The first few plagues didn't do anything to bother anyone. The loss of life came when you lost the firstborn. But the rest of it was vegetation or animals or something. I mean, the Nile turned to blood. You know, those were things that were plagues, but they didn't take out human life. And I've seen where they've tried to explain those away scientifically, saying, well, in the order of the way the plagues happened, the first thing that happened could have caused the second, third, and fourth things. And then those things could have later caused the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth things. So, you know, as they look at that, they try to explain it all away using science. The reality is, I don't believe that we need to look at it that deeply. I think God can cause any of these things to happen. He did speak creation into being. So if God says, I want the Nile to turn to blood, the Nile will turn to blood. If God says, I want the world to become covered in locusts, then the world will become covered in locusts. I mean, if God says, I want to send an angel of death to kill the firstborn, well, why were the firstborn among the Israelites not killed also, based on tradition, the way that it would have happened in the palace? Or the way that would have happened in any Egyptian home. So we get from that, and then we get to the second angel, and it says something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Here we do possibly see fatality, because the ships being destroyed likely were manned ships. But this could also bring up a point of a volcano, which is where we got into the discussion about, was it Yellowstone or Yosemite? Blake's not here to correct me. Somebody's going to have to help. Which one's not in California? It's Yellowstone, right?
I thought it was in California.
Whichever one it is, it's up in the Pacific Northwest.
Yellowstone.
Is it Yellowstone?
That's what you said.
I can't remember if it was Yellowstone or Yosemite.
That's what you said.
But it's got that huge super volcano underneath it that science has been talking about. And as you think about that, and the fact that if that thing were to blow, how much it would actually take out because of how big they say it is. They're saying the pocket of magma underneath that reaches all the way down into Mississippi. I mean, that is a huge volcano. Therefore, if that were to blow, it could easily accomplish these things. that we're talking about here. So as you think about that, it would again have to be something directly from the hand of God, the way it's described, because it says a mountain from the sky. Because it also does say that it something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. So if it's being thrown into the sea, you know, was it an explosion that caused a huge mass of land to then be thrown into the sea, or is this something bigger that came from the sky? That's where we get into the conversation about the asteroid or a meteor that could come crashing to the earth and cause that similar type of damage. So here we are looking at this. Again, we're not meant to know the mechanism of the destruction. We're just simply told of how it happened. Well, if we go back, you again have a third of the sea becoming blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea dying, and then a third of the ships being destroyed. This is the first time that human life is likely taken in the judgments. But again, it's critical. It doesn't say a third of human life. It simply says a third of the ships. Well, all of the human life is not on ships, so a third of the ships is not going to take out a third of human life. So it's going to be a critical hit, but it's not going to be a massive undertaking. But we're again reminded of the first Egyptian plague where the rivers turned to blood. And that blood, if a third of the waters turned to blood, then it's just common sense at that point that a third of the sea creatures would die. Because if a third of the waters turn to blood, then it's likely that they're in that third of the water. I mean, unless they're all gathered into one place. So, you know, as we think about that, again, it's just a warning about repentance. Which brings us to where we were, and I want to hit this as good as we can, but I don't want to leave anything unturned. That's why I wanted to go back to the first two to talk about the next two. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water, and the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Couple things happen here. One, the name of the star, the name literally means bitter. But where are other places that we've heard wormwood? Maybe I got any ideas? I think there actually is a star in the sky right now that is named Wormwood. The scientists named Wormwood. But I don't know which one it is. But this is the third plague is a burning star that falls from the sky on inland waters and turns them bitter, and people die because of bitter water. That being said, the contamination of the fresh water supply also recalls when the water was turned to blood, because it was all water in Egypt that was turned to blood. But as we look at this and we think about this coming through, this could easily be a meteor coming down. I mean, a meteor is a star, for the most part, that has made its way finally out of orbit or whatever, and it started to fall, and it just happens to crash through the Earth's surface, or to the Earth's surface. It is a blood-red storm and burning mountain, almost... Symbolically speaking, it's a symbol of divine visitation. This is something coming from the sky. God is moving in judgment. People must repent or bear the full fury of his coming wrath. The star is named for the effect that it has on the water. Again, the bitter or the wormwood. Wormwood means bitter, which is it is also the strong bitter taste of the plant that we call wormwood. And I don't know if anybody's ever tried it or found it or seen it or what, but it's not poisonous, but the bitter taste suggests death. So What John's saying is that a portion of the inland waters were contaminated by a spectacular act of God, and many people died as a result of drinking the water. In other words, I mean, the water is struck, and people die for drinking water. It's kind of like when they tell you, when you go to Mexico, don't drink the water. You know, that's kind of what you're looking at here, is that the water was made bitter. The reality is there's not a lot of pure water on earth in many places today. You talk about contaminated water from whatever reason that it is. So it's not something that would be out of the realm of possibility for us to think about in this regard, is how water could do that. But we're looking at that, and then we get into the next couple of verses. Verse 12 says, "Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night." Now, climate change. If a third of the sun is darkened, meaning that the sun's only up two-thirds of the time, it's going to get colder. If a third of the night is now also removed in its pitch darkness, you're looking at a really serious situation. Because not only that, I mean, the scientists have continued to talk about how the moon has to do with the waves and the tides and the different things that are going on with that. So basically what you're looking at is, this would be a situation where the first three plagues have involved burning objects coming to earth. This one has nothing to do with burning, but rather putting out of light, removal of light. And because the heavens themselves are actually being destroyed here. The sun's being destroyed. The moon's being destroyed. These things are happening, and it's part of God's judgment. And what he is describing here is the beginning of the end of the world. I mean, it is plain and simple. There's no other way that we can talk about it at this point. This is the beginning of the end of the world. And so as we look at that and we see what's happening here, it says, "And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound.'" So as we get through this, the scene ends up kind of bringing in the ninth plague from the Egyptian plagues, where you see the darkness that falls on the earth, which would have caused a mix-up in the vegetation and how everything was working according to the way that it was designed to work. And then we get into this darkness of the fourth plague, anticipating this transition from divine warnings to demonic woes. And this is, there's some translations that talk about this as an eagle. This says angel in the New King James, but that verse also, many of other manuscripts translate that word as eagle. So rather than an angel, you've got an eagle flying through the sky. We've talked about eagles. We've talked about all that and how that goes through. Well, what we see here is this eagle is making an announcement. And as severe as the four trumpet judgments have been, the worst is yet to come. And the eagle is bringing the warning. And so you see this eagle, the first four attack nature with humankind affected indirectly, but not really facing anything more than just a critical situation. Well, it might be that this is an angelic form in the form of an eagle that's flying in. That, and later in chapter 14, verse 6, we see this, something similar. But the reason that I say that is because this is an eagle that is speaking a language that can be understood. We're not going to understand an eagle if it's flying overhead and it's making noise. But we might understand, you know, if this eagle is speaking English or speaking the language that we can understand, then obviously it's something a little more than just an eagle probably. But as we look at that, you're thinking about one of the strongest birds of prey on the face of this earth who is crying out, "Woe to you." And not just once, but it's gone from holy, holy, holy to whoa, whoa, whoa. And whoa is typically not a good term that you want to tie in with anything. And it says, whoa, whoa, whoa to the inhabitants of the earth, which is a direct contrast to the holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I mean, almost the exact opposite of what has been being said before now, which is the holy, holy, holy part. So he's saying to the inhabitants of the world, once again, God's people are excluded from the disaster. And the reason I say that there is that inhabitants of the world is translated here as inhabitants of the world. It occurs often in Revelation, but it's nowhere else in the New Testament. So it almost doesn't seem like they're talking about the same group of people as the New Testament would, of humankind in general. This seems to be, since we've already seen about the sealed, the protected, the ones that are not going to endure through the tribulation, it would seem to be that this is talking about the ones that are still left on earth are now facing this judgment. But God's chosen have now, they're not part of the group that's facing this. The Greek phrase is not as neutral as it might appear, though, because the phrase that's translated inhabitants of the earth means the pagan world or the body of unbelievers. If you go to Revelation 13:8, the same phrase is used. And that's typically what it's referring to there. So you're looking at exactly what I just said. You're looking at a pagan world, a body of unbelievers. You're looking at the ones who are left to face the wrath of God. And so in that, basically, Revelation knows only two kinds of human beings, the people of the earth and the people of Christ. And there's no others mentioned. You've got one or the other. And they're basically at eternal odds with each other. And so that's how that kind of wraps up. But it does look like we are excluded from where that's at. Which that wraps up chapter 8. That being said, chapter 9 is just two trumpets, whereas 8 was four and a lot shorter. We're getting ready to jump into a very large chapter, and it may take us a while to get through even just the first part. Things that we need to remember as we go through this from here forward, and we've mentioned them a few times on these others, and I know we got to go, but the things that we need to remember here are the 10 plagues that took place in Egypt, because you see them repeat themselves in a lot of ways as the world is about to be destroyed. I use that to say this, that I believe that God has really taken an opportunity throughout Scripture to show us everything. And by everything, I mean literally everything we could face on this earth, including what an unbeliever would face when it comes to the wrath of God. And if you remember, 9 of the 10 plagues had nothing to do with human life directly being taken. Human life might have suffered as an effect of one of those plagues, but human life directly being taken only happened on one of them. So as we look at this and we see this start to happen, you're going to find something. It's really interesting once you get into chapter 9 and you get to these locusts that are mentioned. These locusts are out for blood. They're not out to just go out for vegetation like the locusts in the Egyptian story. These locusts are after people. And it's crazy. This is where we start getting into like some of the crazier stories of Revelation. I, for one, find some joy in all of this for some reason, because I'm starting to understand it a little more and starting to study it even harder than I was studying it. And I find some real joy in this. But I think it's mostly because I realize that we're not a part of this. We're not a part of the group that's being chased by the locusts. So as we get into that, that's what we're going to talk about. Any questions about what we talked about tonight, though? I knew we didn't have a lot to cover as far as those other two trumpets, so I wanted to make sure that we got them in so that next time, I guess it'll be Sunday, we can jump right into chapter 9, because chapter 9 is going to, I mean, it'll be probably at least two times that we have to go through it, maybe three, before we can get through the whole chapter. Eight took a little while, but once we got to the trumpets, it sort of flowed smoothly. But I could use the better part of 45 minutes Sunday night and be nowhere close to touching the first part of chapter 9. And then you've still got you still got the sixth trumpet in there as well. But any questions? If not, then Joe, would you close us out with prayer?